Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome inside the Celtics Life podcast. I'm Mark Allison here with Justin Quinn. And for the offseason, we're changing things up while the NBA shuts down for the summer. We're going to cover the week's big events and whatever basketball-related action we could find that might impact the Celtics, since we know that's why we're all here. Things might get a little weird with all of us in basketball withdrawal, but we know you're going through it too. But between free agency, the draft, summer league, training camp, we'll have at least a pod a week, and we'll keep it rolling for you guys. So today we are going to discuss the possible Celtics returning, leaving. Justin, what's going on, man?
Same old, same old.
So guys that we're looking into next season, we're looking at who might be coming back, who might be leaving. Obviously, some guys are under contract, some guys aren't. Little uncertainty with guys, trades, deals, what's going to happen. We're looking at guys that we can almost definitely slate in for next year. And it would seem that Isaiah, Big Al, and Jalen are probably the three locks that will definitely be back next year.
I wouldn't even say that they're locks. A lot really depends on the moves that are made. Obviously, trading someone like one of those three is going to be pretty difficult to do. But at this point in time, I mean, Danny traded away the big three in ruthless fashion, and we're reaping the benefits of it now. It'll be painful if any kind of trade like that comes down the pike, but it's not going to happen, I think, unless we're going to get a good return out of it. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't think of big names come up and things could happen, but I would say for the most part, I think we could pretty safe to say that those guys are coming back next year, and with Al being under contract for several more years, Jalen obviously as well, and then obviously IT is going into a contract year, but I'm not sure of what a return they would get for him, and even if it makes any sense to deal him anyways.
Honestly, only somebody of the stature of an Anthony Davis or a Karl Anthony Towns, a player like that stature, would have any chance of involving those guys. There's some other guys who are more likely to not be on the roster next year. Avery and Jay Crowder are two very enticing players who, at least in the case of Bradley, are going to be a headache in terms of cap space when it comes time after the next season to think about renegotiating his very disproportionate to his production value deal. Marcus Smart is another guy who is probable to be on the roster. And then there's guys like Kelly Olynyk, Tyler Zeller, Terry Rozier, Jordan Mickey, James Young, Gerald Green, Jonas Jerebko, all those guys, Demetrius Jackson, they are very unlikely to return. Though some of the younger guys might end up coming back just because of how young they are, and there's still some promise in some of them. But let's go through these different potential, I guess you could say, tiers of Celtics players and try to make a case for each of them. Isaiah Thomas, what kind of a situation? Well, first of all, what do you think is the strongest argument for keeping Isaiah Thomas? This isn't going to be too hard for these first three guys.
Well, see, my thing with Isaiah is that he fits in the fact that we have these young guys. We have a Jaylen Brown, potentially a Markelle Fultz coming this year, and potentially another young guy next year, where we have Al already under contract, a near max deal. We have room to sign Isaiah to that same, kind of contract. We, might be able to get him at slightly below his market value just because the teams that are going to be contending teams that could afford to pay him that contract maybe don't have that. They're not going to have that kind of financial flexibility. So is he really going to leave for an Orlando or, whatever, Sacramento? He's obviously not going back there. He could stay here. If he signs a 3-year deal, 4-year deal after next year, well, I mean, if we can somehow get another max level guy, You're looking at Al, IT, Gordon Hayward, whatever. Plug them in. And while we have those three guys at those contracts, then you're working with the three young players turning into stars. I think you could get a crossover in between those seasons where you have three really talented young guys and three really talented veteran guys. And then you could somehow, you know, obviously those guys are going to need big deals eventually, but there could be a bridge there where you have a really big amount of talent on the team.
There's also the potentiality of a very large tax bill to be paying. And there is a very strong argument to be made that we're not going to be interested in paying repeater tax bills for a squad that can't get past Cleveland and definitely can't get past the Warriors. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that we can really predict the future as to whether or not those teams are going to be competitive on the level that they are this season. In the future, all kinds of things can happen. And as ridiculous as it sounds now, if I told people that the Golden State Warriors were going to sign Kevin Durant 2 seasons ago, then they'd probably laugh at me. That said, you know, the usual narrative on IT, his defense, his size, I don't care about that. I do care about his durability long term. But the way that this team looks like it's coming together, unless we have some serious misfires in the draft with either Jalen or presumably Markelle Fultz or whatever ends up happening, then in that situation, I could see it being more of a problem. But at this point in time, when you get basically found money in the level of talent that they found in Isaiah, I don't see there's, as we started out with, there's a very limited amount of situations where it would make any sense at all, in my opinion. But Al Horford has been critiqued by some members of the fan base who, apologies if you're listening, I think you're dumb. There was a comment by Adam Himmelsbach, I think I'm saying his last name correctly, who noted that very, very few, I think like two or three players in the last 10 to 20 years have put up the same kind of production across the stat sheet in terms of assists, in terms of rebounds, in terms of shooting, in terms of defense. So he's in some very rare company. I could see some people worried about the aging of his game. But personally, when you have a player, I mean, he's the biggest free agent signing we've had in decades. And I mean, of course, we haven't had cap space to do that, which has been something of a luxury apart from the mid-90s to be in the first place. But do you see any reason, like realistic reason, why we wouldn't want to keep Allen team, why we would want to trade someone like him away?
No, I don't. And I think it's silly that the guy does everything, you know? I mean, he doesn't score 30 points a game. He doesn't pull down 15 boards, but I mean, he is a five tool player. He's just a definite like building piece that you want to build around.
I don't personally see the trouble with the years part of the narrative around moving him. For the most part, to me, that has been something that I think people don't necessarily think about, the fact that at the end of his contract, in the last year to 2 years of his contract, we can stretch it and it'll be a hit, but there's going to be a cap donut, I guess is the word I want to use for it. There's going to be some room in terms of what to do with a potential bad contract just before Jalen and Markelle Fultz are due for extensions. So in my mind, if you absolutely have to, then you stretch them and, you know, you might end up taking a step back while those guys dive into the first part of their extensions. But by the time they come around, I think you'll have the time and space to make do. So I don't really see that being such a huge problem. Jalen Brown is very, very talented already and is one of the more enticing potential trade targets that other teams are going to be asking for. Can you think of any particular good reasons where they might?
I can't. I mean, when people throwing around names like Anthony Davis and stuff, that's not, I don't even think that's realistic at all in the amount it's been talked about. But, and like you were saying with Horford, the way that Jalen Brown lines up, Horford has what, 3 years left on his deal? So through 19-20, right? I mean, that's how, as long as we have Jalen under contract too. So, I mean, I think it just works out perfectly where these guys are going to end up coming up. Like Al Horford's going to be 34 years old coming off his deal, and we're going to have to re-up Jalen Brown at that time. It almost lines up perfectly to have them both on the team. And we're going to have Jalen at, you know, $6.5 million in that final year. Makes too much sense.
That was easy. Now we get to the harder arguments.
Yeah, these are a little more difficult.
Avery Bradley, there's been a fair amount of discussion floating around the Celtics media sphere about both his potential value to other teams and the problem he's going to create in terms of, as we've been probably talking about too much already, salary cap concerns in the near future. To me, he seems like the most likely person to end up getting moved in a deal. And it seems to me that a lot of people are warming up to the idea of moving him, even if they are not happy with the idea of moving him.
Yeah, I think the reason why he's movable, and even though he's on an expiring deal, he is a commodity when you have a team like Golden State where you need a guy. Like an Avery Bradley is such a vital tool now. I mean, there's going to be a lot of interest in his ability to, you know, being one of the best on-ball, if not the best on-ball defender in the league.
However, there is also, and this has been pointed out by some of our peers, that he is a dedicated two-man, and he's a short one at that. Granted, he defends.
And he's a heck of a rebounder.
Yeah, he defends and rebounds way outside of his you know, stature. But a combined front court, or excuse me, a combined back court, of Avery and Isaiah, it is something of a problem in terms of coverage. Not necessarily so much Avery, but in terms of switching, you don't have a guy that can switch on to a larger player. And, you know, Bradley, there's an argument there. I don't know how much I buy it, but I can see it. There's plenty of good things that he's been doing in terms of improving his game every year that make excellent arguments for keeping him. But the financial situation, I think, is going to be a problem.
Right. So, I mean, if the Celtics, especially if a Hayward comes to town, Avery's is going to be the odd man out for that reason alone.
And similar to Jalen, Jay Crowder, his positional versatility, being able to guard, you know, down to two and up to four and able to play the four on offense, at least some of the time, I think that combined with the years on his deal being
that contract,
so long.
Yes.
I mean, he's like people, when I rave about Jay Crowder, it's not because I think that he is a potential all-star. I don't think that's out of reach necessarily if he improves his shooting. But even if this is peak Jay and we just get a couple more years at around this production level, he's still one of the more valuable players between his defense and his potential offense. He doesn't have it more than, say, one out of every four or five games where he's just like, you know, fire. Even still, between that and the defense, he's such a valuable player on that kind of money. He may be one of the prime targets that people are trying to scoop up, potentially, particularly with the salary cap situation being what it is after the TV money spike.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of teams who might be looking to unload a talented player and make some room, he's someone they might want. So that's why I look at him as a likely, well, both of them really, Avery and Jay, as likely players to be on the Celtics, but not necessarily definite.
Right.
Then there's Smart.
This is intriguing because I think this has a lot to do with what would happen with Avery. My thinking is that Smart would be easier to keep under the cap next year. I mean, I'm not sure exactly what either one of those guys are going to make, and I guess it would depend a lot on how Smart's offensive game, if it improves next year. But well, what do you think his numbers would look like at the end of next season? Like what kind of money is he going to make?
Honestly, on the open market, I think that he is looking at 12 to 15. His defense is sorely underappreciated. And I think, ironically enough, things like flopping, and which he doesn't do very much anymore.
No, he's definitely right.
He's come a long way. Far from the worst in the league.
Yeah.
And his shooting, you know, everybody is completely alert to his shooting at this point, and it's really depressed his value. I mean, I think he was the sixth pick overall in his draft year, and he is, I've heard estimates from fairly knowledgeable people that he is late lottery to middle to late non-lottery first in terms of like what he would bring back in trade value,
mm-hmm.
which to me, I would rather just sign him for that kind of money if I had to.
Right.
Once his contract expires, I think that him depressing his trade value could almost work out in our favor long term. But if someone was looking for, you know, a defensive stalwart and was willing to part with him, I would be perfectly fine with letting him go in a trade this season before the deadline, just to make room to re-sign Bradley. Mm-hmm. But I think that Bradley is probably.
I think he's going to land out of our price range.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely more. There's a better shot of him fitting with financially. You know, I think you could get him on a, like you said, somewhere in the 10 to 12 million range, probably maybe 3 years, 30, 36 million or something like that. And then he would be betting on himself for a bigger deal. You know, what is he now? 22, 23?
I think he's 23.
Yeah. So, I mean, he'd be 26, ideally into his prime coming off of a deal. That's my thinking.
This leaves us with the players who are probably not going to be here next year, chief of which, in terms of interest and probably arguably talent, I think at the top of the list are Kelly and Terry.
Mm-hmm.
So give me your case for keeping both.
Well, I think Rozier, if Fultz is drafted, something is going to have to happen ahead of him. You're not going to go into next year with four point guards. So that all need to play. They're all, you know, obviously IT is going to play, but the other three young guys are still will all be developing. It makes no sense. And we even with Jackson too, they're going to have to move a point guard. My thinking was maybe you could move a package deal of, say, Avery and Rozier, get yourself the best draft pick you can get back, or, you know, obviously there have to be some players in there too. I like Terry because I think he's a guy that does everything. He's Olynyk, on the other hand, probably the most frustrating player on the team to me because we see what he can do from time to time. And I wouldn't be so sad to see him go. I don't know.
I could live with Olynyk moving on. I think that he probably is going to move on. I really do think that, I mean, we've already seen evidence that Orlando is targeting him, unless, of course, that whiteboard incident is
That's right. The whiteboard.
But alternatively, we are a mess in the front court aside from Al in terms of long-term solutions. Our best options under contract are guys who really are better suited for playing the two and three in terms of Jay and Jalen.
Mm-hmm.
Jerebko, he might come back, depending on what kind of money and whether or not they want to use either the biannual or mid-level exception to pay him. I think that Jerebko is going to get more money than the biannual, so I don't think that's really realistic for him. And he probably will get more money than the $8-ish million he would get from the mid-level. So I think he's probably gone too. And that leaves us with some serious untested options for the front court in Zizek and Yabusele.
Mm-hmm.
Yabusele is getting an operation. Probably, you know, bone spurs. It's a minor operation, but it might take him some time to get into game form. He's gonna be ready, you know, to play by the time the season starts. But that doesn't mean he's gonna necessarily be in shape. It's a lot easier to stay in shape when it's, you know, like your arm that's hurt,
right,
or your shoulder that's hurt, than, you know, your legs.
Right.
Possible, but hard. So depending on how the free agency thing ends up working out, I could see Kelly ending up coming back if he does something similar to like what Jay Crowder did, signs something from Boston for, you know, kind of like a poison pill offer ends up coming in.
I could see that happening. I'm not against kicking the tires on possibly some other options out there.
Oh, me neither. Me neither.
No.
I mean, I've been thinking about getting Zebo on the Celtics for a season just to see what happens with him. And there's some other guys out there too. Terry, I would really like to see stick with the team just because I think there's a greater chance he will become a much better, let me say that again, a more well-rounded player than Marcus Smart. But he is definitely also a more volatile player, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but based on what I saw in the playoff, I'm a little nervous about him being able to keep his head on straight in high-pressure situations, which he's going to experience a lot of in the next couple of seasons if he stays with the Celtics.
Right.
I don't want a Brandon Jennings on our team.
Right, right. No, And that's understandable. And not only that, he's got a little case of the yips around the basket, although he was a little better as the year went along, but he struggled quite a bit finishing. But he seems to have a penchant for the moment, though. I mean, he hits some big shots. I like that. I mean, and Smart does too, but...
In terms of some of the other guys who are pretty questionable, Gerald Green, I think he's got a great, you know, and this is the most tired trope maybe in the entire NBA, but it's valuable, the locker room presence.
Mm-hmm.
He's got it. He is morphed into, you know, the calm head in the room, which is just the weirdest thing for those of us who remember his earlier incarnation. And I could see him coming back for something like the biannual to vet minimum also, but I mean...
Right, and he fits into that role pretty well. The guy, he was sitting towards the end of the bench, and when he would get opportunities, I mean, he came through more often than not. So he can sit for a week, 2 weeks, and still come in and play as a professional. Yeah. You know,
but do you think that there's someone out there who might end up giving him a bigger offer, which is really anything bigger than like $3-ish million?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's possible. There's teams like Orlando. I mean, what do you have to lose? This guy can play some minutes, you know, and he'd be a good presence around some younger guys, you know. Maybe a Philadelphia. I don't know what their cap situation looks like, but some teams that need a guy that was that young with all these young guys coming out, he was that guy, and he, you know, like you said, would be a great presence around him.
So that leaves us with our resident enforcer, Jonas Jerebko.
Double J.
What do you think about him? Any odds of him coming back?
I think he's more likely to come back than Kelly, personally.
I don't disagree.
Right. Just because of the contract and the numbers. And to be honest with you, he's consistent. He may not be as dynamic as Kelly, but I don't see that big of a drop-off. It's not like Kelly was putting up 20 points a night.
You will always get rotation level play out of him, and right. Some nights you will get a lot more.
Yeah, and when you got the younger guys, you have Zizic and you have Yabusele, and you do want to see what they can do. They're going to get some run next year, but to have a guy like that you know you can go to and say, "Oh, I can throw him out there for 20 minutes," you know.
And I don't expect either of those two guys, the stash guys, Yabusele and Zizic, to be any better than Jonas Jerebko their first season.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like that, there's you have him there. You have these other guys. You'll be able to spread some minutes around, but you know you have him. I'm sure they're going to bring in some other. There's going to be some more bodies in there, obviously, with the aforementioned. I mean, Zeller is toast, I'm sure. It would be interesting to see if Jordan Mickey gets any run next year.
Yeah, Zeller is toast. There's just no space for him in the NBA, particularly at the salary he's going to be guaranteed if we keep him for at $8 million. It's not like 2 years ago, he'd be worth that and more based on what he can do. It's not that Tyler Zeller is a bad player. He's just a archaic player at this point.
Yeah, it's just the way the game's evolved. And you're right. 10 years ago, he would have been a hot commodity.
If he could,
even less than that.
If he could shoot the damn ball from anywhere away from the basket.
Yeah, I mean, if at least he could shoot like a mid-range jumper consistently. I think this first year here, we saw him shoot that a little bit more, and then he just kind of got away from that.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but it's a shame because I like Tyler. He always comes out and plays hard. He's just a total mismatch for the modern game.
Right.
But what about the youngins? Jordan, DJ, James.
And James Young. Here's my thing. I would have loved to have seen, I would think that Jordan Mickey would at some point get some run, but the fact that he didn't get on the court this year when they had so much trouble rebounding the basketball, and that's what he's really good at, was kind of struck me. What do you think of that? I mean, I know he's a young guy, but at the same time, when we were really struggling in the middle of the year, and they never went to him for an extended period. I mean, there was one game where he got a start in there, but I think he only played like 8 minutes in that game.
He can't stick to his man. His defense is terrible.
Is that what it is? I mean, that's what it is?
Well, that is what sticks in my mind, defensive lapses that get him taken out. Mm-hmm. Every time I remember him getting any
And I've seen a few too. So I know what you're talking about, but I just don't know if he's gotten enough extended run to be able to say that.
He has not had any problem offensively putting up, you know, roughly what he should in terms of the minutes he's played in, you know, the regular season and the playoffs. When he plays in the D League, he has no trouble scoring. He puts up pretty gaudy numbers at times.
He looks pretty dominant when he plays down there.
Yeah. So for me, you know, I don't have any kind of direct line to the coaching staff's way of thinking, but the things that stick out is when he does get a chance, it's he lets it, you know, he shoots his shot, but he also misses his guy and gets scored on, and you can't do that.
I just think he's good shot blocker, good rebounder. He can shoot from the outside. I wish they would have given him a little more run this year. I hope he's on the roster next year and we get to see him a little more, but I'm not sure that he would. I mean, with the other guys coming over, and who knows who else is going to be on the roster, you know?
Well, thankfully we have the new two-way contracts coming into effect, so that should help take the pressure off a little bit.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
Of the three guys, I think he's got about – those three young guys we just mentioned, Jordan, DJ, and James, I think he is probably slightly less likely to return than James Young.
Really?
Yeah, just because – you know, other people might throw him more money than we would if we have, you know, roster space and money to throw him.
Mm-hmm.
If we do, he's been competent in the playoffs sometimes even.
Right. And well, another guy didn't really get a lot of run either. So it's hard to say, really. But you're right, though. Yeah, he did.
And that's got to mean that they at least trust him on the court a little bit.
Right.
So Without belaboring a point on someone who's almost certainly gone, I actually think he's got a slightly better chance at sticking with the Celtics next season than anyone else. I remember when we had the big debate about whether it should be him or RJ Hunter, and I really do feel at this point that they made the right decision as much as it sucks.
Yeah, I mean, James is a little more dynamic of a player. Hunter's a good shooter, but I think James Young, there's a lot more upside, you know, there in that department.
What about DJ? I have not seen much of him at all. I know you saw some Red Claws games this season.
He was a beast also in playing for Maine, and yet I think that he's got a tough shot sticking around because of the position that he plays and the log jam that's going to be in front of him. I suppose if they were to make a deal and move, Terry and Avery or whatever, Terry and somebody else, or Marcus Smart and somebody else, I think then maybe he gets a shot as the, third, fourth point guard. But other than that, it's going to be tough for him to stick around.
You probably noticed that one player has not been mentioned. Amir, you think there's any chance at all we bring him back?
Negative. And that's not knock on Mir. I mean, but we saw what happened to those knees, ankles, whatever it was. I mean, he was
ankles, I think.
Yeah, he was in rough shape at the end of the year, the playoffs. I mean, we saw him get abused in that Bulls series and then didn't even play the rest of the series.
I think he is another candidate for an exception. I think that honestly, the most he's really worth at this point, and again, this is no criticism of his effort or dedication or even, you know, occasional 5 minutes, 5 minute explosions of the Amir of old. He's just not worth more than the biannual, which is projected to be about $3.3 million exception, down to the vet minimum. I don't think there's any chance they bring him back except for maybe, you know,
if it's on one of those kind of deals. Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm just not a fan of, especially when you have a team that's built for the playoffs. We have a team that we expect to make a deep run. And you just know that even if he started the year and he was feeling healthy by the end of the season, what are you going to be getting out of him? Right.
Maybe a shot that takes this long?
I knew you were doing that as soon as you started doing it. That's great. Yeah, I mean,
go in most of the time. So
yeah, he was pretty accurate. What did he shoot? Like 38%, something like that. Somewhere around there. It was close to 40.
He was one of the better shooters on the team, as rare as he shot.
Right.
Which I should bring up, generated from one of his ardent Celtics Life fans, an ode by Topher Lane. Dare I speak it?
I think you should do it.
All right. Here comes my dramatic reading. Bear with me. Overpaid, we cry as we watch on TV. The goofy, high-topped, smiley C. Fans would grumble angrily when he'd line up a tray, even if he'd hit it after a moment's delay. Sure, his missed hooks made us turn to our beer, but the groans and the moans are the ode to Amir. He sat for 4 games in the very first round and still cheered louder than the kids on a playground. And when he took to the floor during the regular season, he played harder than anyone, for no discernible reason. His layouts and dives made up his C's career, which is why we are writing an ode to Amir. Maybe he's likely the worst on the team, but the dude played as hard as a legend Kareem. And while we're not going to re-sign him at the start of July, at least some will be here with a wholesome goodbye. You've earned that at least, dude, for your adequate year. May all of us remember the ode to Amir. Shout out to Basketball Ref for all the stats in this poem.
Nice. Very nice. That was awesome, man. I love that. Shout out to Topher. That was really cool.
Absolutely. So with people like Amir being gone, it stands to reason that we're going to need some new players.
That would be the case, yeah.
Now, obviously, we have some draft guys coming in, but we should also maybe spend a little bit of time, more so than on the last podcast, talking about some of the potential additions. So let's start with the bottom of the list, which is really the top of the list. But in terms of players we think out there who could be added in the right situation that aren't necessarily, or do you think maybe we should start at the top, seeing as some of those smaller guys aren't going to be having any chance of joining that smaller, like in terms of stature, but in terms of potential money and contribution. Maybe we should start at the top, do you think?
Sure.
Okay. Gordon Hayward.
A1 choice. Because, you know, regardless from adding, we need to add a score. I think this guy's, this is a perfect opportunity. And like we were talking about before, Gordon Hayward on a max deal would fit in just nicely with over the next few years while we wait for the youngins to develop, and maybe he's enough to challenge Cleveland next year. What do you think?
I don't think it's going to be enough to challenge Cleveland next year unless they have a defection, which, you know, I mean, they have people like Jefferson who might not come back. If Jefferson doesn't win a game against the Warriors, do you really see his 37-year-old ass coming back for another beatdown season?
No, probably not. I can't even believe Richard Jefferson still plays.
I can't either, but he's pretty competent for his age. I mean, pretty competent in general.
60.
37.
Yeah, no, I know. But I honestly think if we added a Hayward, let's say we got him, we draft Fultz, right? Obviously, this hinges a lot on how quickly Fultz develops. Some people think that he's going to be able to score at a pretty high clip at the NBA level right off the rip. Obviously, there'd be some other movement going around. I mean, if we lost Avery or whatever it was, you think about it, we would be a team with a core of IT, Hayward, and Horford. We're going to be a team like the Cavs, like the Warriors, who are going to be attracting those guys on those veteran players on short-term deals for low money that want an opportunity, because that right there, that core, it could be enough to beat Cleveland. I know it sounds crazy, but it certainly could.
I don't think that's crazy. I just think it sounds unlikely.
No, and I understand that. But if those guys, a couple extra pieces, and there's a few names on this list that might fit the bill, I just think that that's, we would be, a Hayward addition puts us like on track to compete now and, you know,
I mean, you never know what's going to happen. You never
exactly. You can't, I just, I don't, some people come with this, Right. Some people come in with the defeatist mentality of it's like, who's going to beat Golden State and who's going to beat this? And it's,
Why am I going to watch the NBA for 3 years?
Which is another, which is entirely other discussion, but exactly. My point exactly.
Well, my answer would be because there's not going to be any better basketball to watch, but.
Right. Right. That's.
Well.
But,
as much as I'm critical of Hayward being able to get us past a healthy Cleveland Cavaliers team, more or less similar to what we saw this year, I think in 22 times out of 10, you still sign Gordon Hayward.
Right.
Griffin, of the Blake variety, on the other hand, there's some pretty good arguments to not sign him. Got any?
Well, the injuries have become – I mean, we were talking about this a couple weeks ago. I think it was Topher and I on the podcast, and he just seems gets hurt every year. He gets hurt at inopportune times. And aside from that, I didn't think he would be a good fit for Stephen's system at first, but looking into it a little better, he's an excellent passer. Obviously he adds the rebounding, and he's, he can score the basketball. He can shoot from 18 feet.
In certain situations too, he's got some utility in that regard. It would kind of like having Horford A and Horford B.
Right. That's what I was saying. They're both great passers. Obviously Horford's a better defender, but Blake's a pretty good shot blocker. A little more athletic, but the injury thing's a big concern. You're going to sign a guy, what it's going to cost to sign him. He seems to get hurt every year. I don't know. What do you think?
I would take a gamble on him as long as we either got a team option on the last of the 4 years, so that way we wouldn't have to worry about stretching him more than 1 or 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And or a structured deal where he has an earlier player option with most of the money up in front, like complete full max all the way for the first 2 years, say, with him having a player option in the second year, so that way he has a nice escape parachute.
About himself, sure.
Yeah. So if he feels like he can, if he wants to put himself in a situation to renegotiate and get the full max again, I'm fine with that. For a full max, a complete max for the full 4 years, I'm not into it.
Yeah, no, I'm not inclined either.
What about Paul Millsap?
Millsap's interesting. Personally, though, he played with Horford in Atlanta. Maybe they didn't have quite the dynamic scorer like Isaiah with them, but they didn't make it past the second round of the playoffs. I'm not really sure that that's a front line that you build around. What do you think?
The argument that the main obstacle for Boston, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they haven't had any success in Atlanta with a Horford-Millsap front court. And that's true, but I mean, also, apart from their starters, they really didn't have the same kind of depth that the Celtics will have next season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe we steal another game and get beat down not quite so hard.
Right. I mean, I don't see the long-term appeal. It might make them a better team next year, but
exactly.
I wouldn't want to sign Paul Millsap for 3-4 years. And he's 31? How old is Paul Millsap?
Ooh, no, I think he's older than that. I think he's 32.
Oh, you're right. I think he's 32 or 33, right?
Yep.
He's older than Horford. So, yeah, if you could get him on a one-year max deal, sure, sign him up. But other than that, I don't,
Yeah, I think someone will give him money more, longer, and
of course, someone definitely will. If not Atlanta,
And that leaves us with Danilo Gallinari for maybe the last of the people I think would have any chance at getting even a 1 year max in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Not a huge Gallinari fan. I think offensively he adds a little firepower, but I don't think he's the dynamic kind of scorer that we need. What do you think?
I think he can be a pretty dynamic scorer on some nights and a fairly consistent scorer in general.
Certainly, yes. Certainly, he is a consistent and he's a great shooter.
But he's a negative defender, and how do you field him and Isaiah at the same time?
Right, that's definitely two voids.
Keep him on the court with so many young guys. I mean, probably the the narrative about Fultz's defense is a little overblown, but it's, you know, he's going to be young and he's going to make a lot of mistakes for the first couple of years. And, you know, we saw some mistakes out of Jalen, who's going to be seeing more time. I would not be into it even really for 1 year. Maybe I could deal with one. Like, I would suck it up and deal with it if we knew that Isaiah Thomas was not going to be moving anywhere and was going to stick around and would renegotiate at the end of his contract for his deal, giving us even more time. But I mean, there's so many ifs in the sentence that I just,
Well, and the other thing too is he's coming in, he generally is a small forward, stretch four. Like, it, you know, you already have Crowder who plays almost the same exact positions and Jalen. I don't know. It just seems like unnecessary.
Yeah, and I think you could get Omri Caspi, who's like 70% of the things that Gallinari does well.
A poor man's rate, for sure.
Yeah, I think that realistically,
no, but I agree.
Need someone like him.
There's some
you don't
guys
need to get him the max contract.
Right, that's what I mean. Right, exactly. Yeah, so and I'm a pass on Gallinari as well.
So that's really all. Unless you want to consider Nerlens Noel somebody who could garner the max, I don't think that there's any chance Danny Ainge would give him a max deal for even 1 year. Or he'd be on the Celtics right now.
I don't think he's a fit. I don't think that they were interested in him because they could have had him a million times over and weren't interested. So I find it hard to believe there's any interest there. One interesting person, and I just saw this the other day, Mecca Okafor making a return or trying to make a return, NBA return. What do you think he could, first of all, who knows if he can even play, but let's say he could, you know, come somewhat close to a, you know, a double double. What could that guy command? What do you think on a deal?
Okay.
What
so
is Okafor? How old
full
is
disclosure, full disclosure, full disclosure. I have permanent blue and white tinted lenses welded onto my eyeballs. I'm a UConn fan. Yeah. I was a UConn fan almost as long as I've been a Celtics fan, and they were really my first serious basketball fandom. So take everything I say with a grain of salt. I like to think that I account for that bias pretty robustly, but who's going to be a better judge of that, y'all or me? I think y'all. So that said, Emeka Okafor is not going to turn the Celtics franchise around in terms of anything that he does well, which is block shots and rebound. However, he can block shots and he can rebound when he's healthy and has been playing. He has not been healthy and he has not been playing. We have seen what has happened to players much younger than him and Larry Sanders coming back and falling flat.
Right. But Larry Sanders coming back mid-year, which we had already discussed, was a bad idea. I mean, this guy, I mean, Emeka has plenty of time to work himself back into shape here.
And he has been, from all reports, he's been working out for longer than the end of last season to get back into game shape. And reportedly, his old coach, Jim Calhoun, who's now retired from UConn, has said that money is not an object for him. He wants to compete. He wants to be in the running for a ring. So I think that if Okafor is serious, then realistically, there's only a handful of teams. Basically, the four final teams who are left in the playoffs plus Houston who would be in the running for him. And I think
that Utah, if they kept Hayward.
If they kept Hayward, possibly.
Yeah.
Though I'm not convinced that he would be convinced.
No. You're right.
They're contending anytime soon. I think that realistically, the Spurs, Cavs, Warriors, Celtics, and Rockets are the only team next year that are going to be competing.
I think that sounds about right.
So I think really just roster space is the main concern. And for at least one season, he'll probably take whatever people can make available for him in whatever situation he thinks is the best fit. That said, we don't really have any strong connections to him other than, you know, he went to college in New England. But hopefully that is worth more than no connection whatsoever with the Warriors or Cavaliers. Right. I don't recall any of the players that he played on in the incarnation of Charlotte One potential left field option, though, is the Warriors. Or excuse me, not the Warriors, the Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
That was his last team before he went out.
Right.
That's
right.
He played a full season. 20, he ended up going to the Suns and got hurt, but the Wizards were the last team he was with for a while. So I could see that, you know, they really need some help in their front court. So that's another possibility, but
it's intriguing to me. I was pretty shocked when I saw that, and I didn't realize it had been that long that since he's played. It's been 4 years, so
yeah.
Pretty wild.
Temporary but, expectations.
Hey, sign him up. Vet him a min. Let's go.
I mean, I would be up for as much as the mid-level exception for him, too, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if he can play, and obviously, I agree with you, 1,000%.
But there's probably some other options out there in terms of big men who might be a better fit and might be available, though it's hard to say because we'd have to poach the one I'm thinking of from a team that is, you know, at least and probably more competitive than Boston next year, if we can judge by what we saw this year, and that would be Pau Gasol.
Mm-hmm.
He's older than dirt. You know, he's going to be 38 years old. You know, me being 41, that makes me older than dirt's dirt or something. But in terms of basketball players with the skills that he has in terms of shooting and basketball IQ, knowing where to be, he's still got some gas left in the tank. I think that he could be one of those guys who comes in to fill the gap if we don't strike it big in free agency or decide we don't want to sign someone like Blake Griffin or Gordon Hayward, which is a weird proposition to me, but I don't know the mind of Danny Ainge in terms of what his long-term plans are.
Right.
He's somebody who could help us field a competitive club and fill some holes that we have in terms of rebounding, shooting, scoring. What are your thoughts on Gasol?
It's hard to say. Like you said, we have to see how these bigger pieces fall first. Obviously, if we got a Hayward or maybe even a Griffin, other players like a Gasol might be more interested in signing a 1 year deal or something in Boston. But I think a lot of that, you know, I don't think that Ainge is going to be looking to add those kind of veteran guys unless, you know, it looks like we've taken a big step forward.
So here's a left field idea that has kind of been circulating amongst teams that might be able to take this player into a trade to help another team with some cap relief. Now, for this to happen, it would have to involve medical clearance, probably some pretty rigorous medical clearance based on the amount of money that's involved and potential risk involved, because, and it'll probably tip you off who I'm talking about if I haven't already done so, the man is getting part of a cadaver inserted into his knee to hopefully continue his career, which is looking done if this doesn't work. You know what I'm talking about?
My favorite name in the NBA? Festus?
For the rest of us.
Yes. Yeah, man, that's wild. The cadaver thing is just, that's great.
No, yuck. But hey,
is some wild stuff. And so, and like, he's under contract for 2 years at $15 million, I think.
No, I think he's,
maybe 1 year remaining? Yep.
$16 million. 2 years, mm-hmm. $8 million left. Would have to come onto our books in a trade. We could probably package some of our younger guys to give them something of value back. They said they're willing to give up a first round pick out of the couple that they have. Do you think there is, assuming he's medically cleared, obviously, that would be a risk worth taking? Assuming there'd be space also, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, and whose knee is he getting? Is it Wilt Chamberlain's knee? I mean, honestly though, he's a pretty solid piece, for that price. I think it's certainly fittable depending on, obviously it depends a lot on what happens, but I said that like a broken record tonight, but.
Well, I mean, what else can we say really? There's so many different.
Yeah. It's hard to say with the smaller guys like this, what, and I say smaller in contract alone, how it's all going to shake out. But I mean, he certainly could be a good addition for sure.
What about three-point specialist from Utah, Joe Ingles. I imagine there's a pretty good chance that he's going to be earning somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 to $15 million a year based on his skill. Any interest?
It's a little much to me. I mean, I think there's – I'd rather take a chance and roll the dice on one of the younger guys than have him take a spot of – I'd rather have a James Young and see what he can do rather than go with – I think Ingles is, what, 30? 29, something like that.
I'm going on 30, yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather take a shot with one of our younger guys that we have under contract than have him take a roster spot.
Got any real estate on Waiters Island?
What's that?
Got any real estate on Waiters Island?
He's going to be too much. I think he's a good guy. I think he's best suited to either, you know, stay in Miami or go to a younger team that he can they can, you know, use him as a building piece, because I think he's really he had his coming out party this year.
Agreed. I see him as a prime candidate for a contract for a team like the Nets, mm-hmm. the 76ers.
Yeah, Philly, I think, would be a great fit. And if they don't take Monk in the draft, he would, you know,
even
he
could if be they do, do hmm? Even if they do, he's going to be like. Pretty
yeah, unpublished. I guess you could still start Waiters. It depends on what that contract looks like, too.
Yep. So that is all the people I can think of. You got anybody else on your radar that you might think?
Pretty good list. I mean, that's. I think that's. You know, some. Those are all at least some potential. Definitely some potential in all those additions.
Well, that brings us to some of the other issues of note, namely the NBA draft. Some news out there that the Lakers might pass on LaVar Ball. Excuse me. Well, they will be passing on LaVar Ball. Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, so reports coming out from Bleacher Report, Sports Illustrated, that the Lakers are not leaning. If the draft was tonight, it wouldn't be. They would not select Lonzo Ball. And they haven't even worked the guy out yet. So I don't know how much really? Weight that really
that's,
holds.
That's strong of a
– Yeah, but I don't know how much weight that holds without having worked out any of these guys. They're talking about some other options they could take. De'Aaron Fox, who's been gaining a lot of momentum lately. Josh Jackson, who might be the second best all around player in the draft after Fultz. I mean, there's so many options. There's so many things they could do. Obviously the LaVar Ball circus is probably somewhat of a deterrent, but I don't. If Magic Johnson thinks that Lonzo's the second best player in the draft, he's going to take him. Or the best. If he, he might think he's the best player, but I'm saying if he thinks he's the best player available at number two, he's going to take him.
So,
regardless of, even with D'Angelo Russell, I don't think that Magic has any ties to him and wouldn't be opposed to dealing him. What do you think?
Well, I think that Russell could work next to him in terms of
he's more of a scorer, so
in terms for of sure. As a number as a two, I think he could fit, but honestly, I think that we might be hearing the voice of reason coming down from either Jeannie Buss or Rob Pelinka, because I'll be completely honest, if I'm trying to assess Lonzo, apart from the LeVar drama and apart from the Lakers, I want to be a Laker narrative out there, it seems to me that his shot has got some issues with it in terms of its form. And I'm not entirely confident he's going to be a capable scorer. I think he's going to be all right as a passer. He's got great court vision. It's one of the main things that have people interested in him.
Mm-hmm.
I think the comparisons to Jason Kidd are very premature.
Yeah, I mean, it's I agree.
In terms of other players being on a team's radar, we've also got Boston working out some other players. Jonathan Isaac, Dennis Smith, either have or will be soon working out for Boston. What do you think's going on with that?
Well, I've seen a couple people talk about this, and I think that this is a possibility. I think Isaac and Smith are guys that, you know, they're going to be, they wouldn't be a number one overall selection. But should the Celtics either trade the pick and move down for multiple picks, or maybe they're looking to move up in the draft by dealing, Avery Bradley, a Marcus Smart, Rozier, or some combination. There's certainly some teams that are picking in the later parts of the top 10. I know Minnesota's picking at 7. Might be, Avery Bradley might be a good fit over there. That's, you could potentially land an Isaac or a Smith at number 7.
Yeah, and you could also see the attraction for Tom Thibodeau with some history with Avery Bradley.
Right.
Albeit kind of an old history, but, you know, there's still a connection there, so he may have been following him.
I'm not sure, though, that Avery Bradley can land you the number 7 pick, not with the 1 year on his contract.
By himself, yeah.
Even a combination of him and Rozier, him and I think there'd have to be some other stuff involved. But
there is the possibility, and this is going to be something that we'll probably be talking about increasingly much. Under the new CBA, you can include terms that require an extension to be signed.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so that could turn out to be a very useful tool in completing some deals if Boston chooses to make some. But probably like every other sports podcaster talking about the Boston Celtics and the number 1 draft pick, I think maybe we should just relax with the predictions about trading down, out, etc.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
I think that's crazy talk.
Yeah, I mean, I've done my due diligence in terms of trying to, you know, cover every possible base, but I think we finally all started to hit the wall in terms of this is just not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Barring a ridiculous return. So
yeah,
I think I'm going to swear off any more diving into that in the future.
Yeah, I've honestly come to the point that I would be very disappointed if we traded Fultz for anything, not anything, but anything not named Davis or Karl Anthony Towns.
Pretty much.
So
maybe a Russell Westbrook or something like that.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. You want to give me him? That's cool.
Yep.
But apart right. That, like
caliber. Like if you're not a top 5 player, I don't want
yeah,
anything
I'm
to do
good.
With it.
Because I mean, just the kid looks pretty dynamic. So I'm ready to roll with it.
He's saying all the right things. He came to Boston for an extended workout. He has bulked up considerably. I just, the more and more I dive into it, the more and more data I get, the more and more convinced that I am.
Yep. I couldn't agree more.
And, you know, speaking of that, you had a piece earlier this week talking about Mannix basically dismantling Colin Cowherd on that very topic.
Yeah. Well, Colin Cowherd, and I've said this many times, is a fool, but he was talking about trading the pick for a star. Now, the stars that he's talking about are Jimmy Butler, a Paul George. And just like we said, you're not trading Markelle Fultz for those guys. Even Jimmy Butler, he was talking about ridiculous things about, the owners would like to get to the finals. They don't care about winning the finals. They want to get there to get those couple extra games and this extra money.
It's not like the owners are on record saying exactly the opposite.
Oh, it's just banana land. I can't stand people that talk about things and have no idea. Like, he's clearly never heard Whit Grosbeck talk about the you know, what he wants. So don't speak for him. You know what I mean? Just crazy.
Very much.
But he's an idiot.
I'm not a fan. I don't know. There's not really too much more to cover in terms of that. Some other minor storylines that have come up in relation to that. We have, you know, my ear is always tuned to what's going on with the University of Connecticut. And the University of Connecticut recently hired a new associate head coach, Raphael Chilius. I think that's how you say his last name. I haven't actually heard it pronounced out loud, so don't kill me if that's incorrect. Now, this is a man who worked with Markelle Fultz and Isaiah Thomas at the University of Washington. Before the, let's just say, underwhelming, I don't even think they hit double-digit wins last season at Washington because the team was just so unbalanced. They had a bunch of people who really had no business being in the front court, playing front court positions, and they were just an all-around terrible team. And you could, if you were a small person, pin some of that blame on your messiah of a recruit not coming through for you in the form of Markelle Fultz. But Rafael Chilius thinks Fultz is a fantastic fit with Isaiah Thomas. If the guy lost his job because you didn't take your team to the collegiate postseason, sings your praises, I don't think there's any reason to be worried.
Right.
In terms of other small news, banner number one was won 60 years ago this week.
I saw that post.
Yep.
Very nice.
I was quite impressed that of all the teams with significant, as in like double-digit finals appearances, the Boston Celtics have by far and away the best record, 8-5-1 overall. You could probably fairly lump the Bulls in there because they have, you know, a perfect 6-0 record, but we know why that is.
Yeah.
And what else is going on in the Celtics NBA media sphere? Big Baby and the Rivers had some more drama, which I think you were writing on, right?
Yeah. So, Davis, so Austin Rivers went on, what show was it? It was Undisputed or one of those. I think it was Skip Bayless's show. They asked him about the comments that Baby made about his dad. And then he was talking. I don't even remember exactly what Rivers said, but he made some comments about Davis. And then Davis went on this
Austin,
epic
just,
rant.
Just remembered it. Yeah.
This epic, epic rant. Instagram talking about Austin Rivers and his tight pants that his dad got him for this contract. It was glorious.
It was pretty funny. Definitely check it out.
Definitely, certainly there's that beef is not going to be going away anytime soon.
It's looking increasingly like it's going to be a bunch of old guys yelling at each other. Nobody thinks that Big Baby has much of a future in the NBA, and unless the Clippers re-sign a bunch of people who are not necessarily locks, I think that Rivers may find himself on the hunt for yet another position to not have to go through a rebuild.
Yep.
What else can we dredge up from Basketballandia? There's not too much going on. Al's birthday was this week. Al Horford, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Al. Well, we've got the NBA Finals going on, but they're really not
oh
much going
God,
on there.
I completely forgot about those. Not really. Kind of.
Not much going on there.
I've not been watching whole games. I've just been watching parts. I watched the first half of the last game.
The first half was great, though. And then
it was so close. I was so hopeful.
Oh, man, what a disaster. I really hope they make a series out of it, though, because I really hope we haven't seen the last of meaningful basketball of the year. I'm really hoping that they can get back into it, but geez, that looks like
a... Because if they can't win at home, then...
Yeah, that looks like quite a mountain to climb, though. That Golden State looks so good. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, we could go through a recap of these games. I don't think anyone really cares too much other than... I will admit, I enjoyed a little schadenfreude at LeBron's expense in the presser after the game. Didn't want to talk to anybody after being down 2-0. Sucks, huh?
Yep.
Well, other than that, we've got Game 3 and Game 4 in Cleveland on Wednesday and Friday. I think they're at 9:00 Eastern Standard Time for anybody who's interested. You got any predictions?
I mean, I think Cleveland wins a game. I don't think they're going to get swept, but honestly, it could go either way.
I think they're getting swept.
You
I hope
think
they're
so?
Getting swept. I just want this season to be over.
Okay. Fair enough. The draft doesn't come any sooner, you know, Justin.
Fine. We can have the games then.
Oh, man. So, but yeah, that's pretty much. It's going to be a tough for Cleveland to get back in this series for sure.
Well, you got anything you're working on? Want
to
talk about?
I do not, no. But with Fultz coming to town tomorrow, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of interesting stuff to talk about, or probably today if you people are listening. We're recording this on a Monday, but you guys will see it on a Tuesday. Eddie, you got anything else?
Well, like you, I'll be working on that kind of stuff. Might do some stuff about Celtics history. It's the off season. We'll have some more time.
For sure.
And besides that, you cannot get tickets to the next game under that heading at the Celtics Life site. But you can get a wide variety of shirts nobody else has and hoodies under that heading in the store. Besides that, you can find the pod on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and most podcatcher apps. Please subscribe so you can hear us ramble about wanting more basketball this summer and occasionally some exciting stuff like what happened in the draft and what's going on in summer league and all that good stuff. Please rate us 5 stars if you're going to rate us anything. If you're not going to rate us 5 stars, just tell us what we need to do to earn those 5 stars from you. You can do that with a comment on a Celtics Life article on Twitter with the hashtag CelticsLifePod. Excuse me, CLPod. Gotta get used to that. We shortened it to try to make it a little easier on you. You know, we're trying to bring you the coverage you want, the way you like it. And with a lot more free time to be covering it, we should be able to get it razor sharp with your input. So let us know. That's all I got.
Take care, guys.
Take care.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.